You're a practicing veterinarian, a world-renowned veterinarian, actually, and Dr. Mary Gardner says, you know, I've not climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. That would be fun to do. How did this happen, Dr. Gardner?
Oh, Steve. I may have bit off more than I can chew. But it let me just tell you, I am no mountain climber, and I'm quite the couch potato, but I was offered an opportunity to climb Mount Kilimanjaro this September and with a small group of veterinarians, and I have to lecture and teach them on the way up the mountain about seeing your pet. And I thought, why don't I combine this with a really good cause and try to help raise money for seeing your pets at the same time?
Which we'll talk about, but I could see you now. You're using one of those pick things, you know, and you're hitting it into the rocks, and you've got a rope, and you've got seven veterinarians behind you holding on for dear life, and you're saying, by the way, do you know that hyperthyroidism occurs more in cats as they age because, and as they age, speaking of aging, you're doing that as you speak. I mean, how do you do this? I mean, are you showing a PowerPoint, setting everything up on the mountain?
No, okay. So first of all, to rest your mind, because I know you're going to be worried about me, it is not a mountain that you need equipment like that for. That's Mount Everest, which I will never try to even go to base camp. So Mount Kilimanjaro, you don't need equipment like that. It is pure like hiking up to almost 20,000 feet. And we're going to be doing it over 8 days. And so we start September 22nd, and we climb anywhere between 5 to 9 hours a day, and then we're resting, we're around a campfire, and that's when I'm going to talk about hyperthyroidism in old cats.
But still, after a long day, a really long day of hiking, the marshmallow part that I just created with the campfire, that's a good idea, but I don't know about... I mean, if you can keep that audience alert and awake, that's a wonderful thing. How do you train as a certified couch potato? How do you train to climb Mount Kilimanjaro?
I started a couple of months ago, and truly, I'm not exaggerating. Couch potato, barely walked. I didn't, you know, have any flights in my house or anything like that. So I have one bad knee from surgery when I was 18. I'm 51 now. And so I don't jog. I don't run. I don't do anything. So I need to set the stage appropriately. So for any of your listeners that are like, I could never do that, that was me. And so I started a couple months ago, mainly just getting on my treadmill. So I bought a Peloton. I hiked that sucker up to a certain degree. And, you know, you just do that for 45 minutes to an hour every day. And some lunges and things like that. But now for the last month, I've been really up in my game because we're 6 or 7 weeks out. So it is now I got to start picking it up a notch. And so I've been doing at least 50 flights of stairs a day. Now, not all at once. I'll do like 5 to 10 and then, you know, do it again in a couple hours. So just trying to get that elevation going.
Where do you find 50? Do you live in a high rise? Where do you find these stairs?
No, good question. No, but I have one near me. So I go into the apartment complex right near me and do that.
So I could see security cameras are everywhere in these buildings, right? There's a strange lady in our stairway who keeps going up and down and up and down and up and down. And that gives but how do you get accustomed? You're in Florida, I happen to know. So how do you get accustomed to the altitude? I mean, for me, living in Chicago, I'm on the fifth floor of a building and I get the bends, you know? So how do you actually, I think you get the bends when you're underwater, but that's a detail that is beside the point. But how do you then get accustomed to the altitude?
Okay, so that is actually, I'm very concerned about that because we are going to be at just shy of 20,000 feet. And I was about 10,000 feet in Chile maybe 6 weeks ago, and it was a problem, right? So the saying as you apparently climb is go slowly, go slowly. and you just have to go slow. So many people, Steve, were like, oh, go train in Colorado. Well, I can't go to Colorado for a few weeks, right? Like, that's not something I can just do. So Florida is basically at sea level. The only hill we have is the garbage dump. So this is definitely something I'm not acclimated for, but I am going to be taking some medication. There is, because you have to be, you know, worried about altitude sickness, sure, and edema in your brain, basically. So there is some medication that you could take to start like the day before you climb, and I'm just going to preemptively take it. Some people don't take it right away, and they start taking it if they begin to feel sick or get headaches. But my doctor said start early, because I am not ready for the altitude.
Well, you do get a job. I mean, when I was on the board of the American Humane Association, I would fly into Denver frequently. And the first few times, yeah, I did it, the altitude bothered me. But as I did this more often, and I had to twice a month, which is not every day, right? So it's not that I, right, was regularly, but either it was all in my head, which I doubt there's not much up there, or maybe I really did get it. But then once I was asked to speak in a place called Keystone, Colorado. And yes. I don't know how it's beautiful. I don't know how high that altitude is, but all I do know is I don't know anything I said. I went up to the check-in desk at the hotel. I said, I don't feel very well. They said, well, you probably have altitude sickness. I said, yeah, I know that. But what do I do? Because I've got to speak in an hour. And they said, well, if you wait 48 hours and drink a lot of water and get some fresh air, you'll be okay. Well, I was going to speak that day and then fly out the next day is all. You know, I didn't have that kind of time to get acclimated. And I have no idea what I said. I have no recollection, really, of being there, except people told me the story that I was there. So I'm a little bit worried.
I am too. I may not remember doing this at all. And people will have to show me pictures of doing it. I don't know. But And the problem is, I'll get used to it one day, and the next day, we've got to go another 2,000 feet,
yeah,
right? So it's going to be tough, and I'm a lot concerned, but I'm going to try to do it, and no better time to try to get up that mountain.
Now, I know you have a passion, and the reason in part why you're doing this is to satisfy that passion to help older animals, geriatric dogs and cats. In this case, it's dogs in particular. They are the love of your life. And I will tell you, if friends, I know that if you go to any veterinary conference anywhere on the planet and anyone is talking about senior pets, it is probably you. You're extraordinarily knowledgeable. You've written books for the public, books for veterinarians about this as well. And you are doing this to help raise money for an organization, a nonprofit called the Gray Muzzle Organization. Can you talk about what they do and what led you to say, I want to do this?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I love the organization, and you introduced them to me years ago. They are focused on raising funds to help shelters and rescues all around the country care for senior pets that are in their care to help get them adopted. So there is a grant process that shelters need to go through, and they apply to get a grant from the Gray Muzzle Organization, and they say what they want to use the funds for, how will they prove that it was worth it, like all these rules, if you will, that they have to go through, which is wonderful. So that way we can pick the best use of the funds. And then there's a process that every spring the Gray Muzzle Organization goes through to pick the best use of the funds. And this year they donated $1.1 million to the clinics, to rescues and shelters for the senior pets. The majority of what is needed for is dental care. So many of these old guys just have stinky mouths, rotten teeth, bad gums, infection, and, you know, horrible plaque. And to get some pearly whites so that way they can, you know, maybe get adopted faster is such an amazing cause. And so that is one of the major things that the senior pets need. So they're always trying to raise money. So anybody can donate to the Gray Muzzle Organization at any time. But I thought, you know what, why not put one foot in front of the other and get up this hill and try to raise money? And so my good friend and fellow, you know, Chicagoan, yes, Dr. Natalie Marks, is going to join me on this climb. And so her and I are trying to raise funds for the Gray Muzzle Organization. And we're calling it that two vets go over a hill for pets that are over the hill.
I like that.
And we're about, you like that? We're just shy of $3,000, and my goal is $10,000.
Oh, well, let's do it. So give me the URL, the website, and maybe through this radio show is my hope. At least we can get you closer to the goal. Where do people go to make a donation?
Okay, so I'm using the company Pledge It. So it's pledgeit.org/2vets, TWOVETS. So pledgeit.org/2vets.
Oh, that's not so complicated. pledgeit.org/2, TWOVETS. I wish you great luck. I have several texts here. One says, I used to live in Breckenridge. Keystone's about 9,500 feet. How high did you say Kilimanjaro is?
It's 19,400 feet.
Okay, so I could barely, I could not live at 9,500. So it was so nice to know you, Dr. Gardner. You've done so much for veterinary medicine. No,
we've known each other for about 10 years.
At least.
It's been good.
We'll follow, we'll follow this on the other side of it when you come back. What's important is you're raising money for this great organization, pledgeit.com /TWOVETS. Dr. Mary Gardner, thank you so much for everything you do for our pets.
Thank you, Steve, for having me.